Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Rishon, Sunday, the 28th day of Elul 5785, corresponding this year to September 21st. Let's do Tehillim, and then we'll see where we go. Tehillim Kuf, thanking Hashem. You know, every time you hear the news, whether it's a rocket that didn't go off, or one that was intercepted successfully, or even when we hear sad news that could have been worse, all of that we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, and with that belief that, as I said earlier, he knows what he's doing. We'll talk about that more. Tilim Kuf, Mizmor Litoda, Hariu Ladonai Kol Haaretz, Ivdu Et Adonai B'Simcha, Bo'u Lifanav Birnana, Du'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim, Hu Asanu V'lo Anachnu Amo V'Tzon Marito, Bo'u She'arav B'Toda, Chatzerotav B'Tehila, Hodu lo baruchu shemo, ki tov Adonai liolam chasto va'ador vador emunato. Tehillim kaf. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid ya'ancha Adonai biyom tzara yisagev chashem Elohei Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadeka. Yizkor kol minchotecha v'olatecha yedashne sela. Yiten lecha chilavavecha v'chol atzatcha yamalei. Neranana b'shuatecha v'shem Eloheinu nidgol yamalei Adonai kol mish'alotecha. Ato yadati ki hoshia Adonai mishicho ya'anehu mishmei kodsho b'gvurot yeisha yimino. Elev orechev v'elev asusim. V'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir, Hema koru v'nafalu, v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodod, Adonai Hoshia ha-melech yaneinu v'yom koreinu. Kuf lamed, shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai, Adonai shima v'koli, tihiena aznecho kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imcha haslicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbei imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Mark.
Mishaberach avoseinu Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, v'yivarech es chayalei tzeva hagana li'Yisrael, v'et anshei kochos habitachon ha'omedim al mishma arteinu v'arei Eloheinu, v'halochamim ba'adeinu min ha'labanon v'amidbar mitraim v'min hayom ha'gadol ad lebo ha'araba וכל מקום שהם, ביבשה, באוויר ובים, ייתן אדוני את אויבינו, הקמים עלינו, ניגפים לפניהם. הקדוש ברוך הוא ישמור ויציל את חיילינו מכל צרה ותוכה, מכל נגע ומחלה, וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם. ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם, ויעטרים בחסר ישוע ובעטר ניצחון, ויקוים בהם הכסוף, כי אדוני אלוהיכם, ההולך עמכם להילחם, לכם עם אויביכם, להושיע אתכם, ונאמר אמן.
אמן. יהי רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ואלוהי אבותינו, שתחזק ותשמור ותנצור את אחינו בית ישראל, השבויים והשבויות, וגם החטופים מיתר העמים, בעבור שאנו מתפללים בעבורם. הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, וישמרם מכל צרה וצוקה, מכל נגע ומחלה, וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם. יוציאם מחושך וצל מוות, וישיבם מהרה לחיק משפחותיהם, ונאמר אמן. Together. אחינו כל בית ישראל, הנתונים בצרה ובשביה, העומדים בין בים, בין ביבשה ובין באוויר, Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, if you're still seeing this on the screen, let's go over that. The bracha for shofar, which is made by the person blowing the shofar, but could be made really by anybody because it's the same bracha, is Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmoa kol shofar. It does not say litkoa b'shofar. The bracha is lishmoa kol shofar, and even the person blowing is blowing so that he can hear the sound, because that's the mitzvah. And a practical application, if somebody is deaf, he can't blow shofar, even if he's capable of blowing shofar, because he's exempt, because he can't hear the sound of the shofar. And therefore he can't be motzi other people. Following that, you have shechionu v'kimonu v'gionu l'zman hazeh. Even though we say a shechionu at Kiddush tomorrow night, this is a shechionu not for the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, but for the mitzvah of shofar, which raises the question about the second day of Rosh Hashanah. There are Eidot, both within Ashkenazim as well as Sfaradim, who don't say a Shechiyonu on the second day for the mitzvah of shofar because they already heard shofar the day before. And there are those who will use that same trick that some people use, most people use for the second night Shechiyonu, by having a new garment or a new fruit to have it in mind. I know that it looked funny, but I used to blow shofar in Ramat Eshkol Shul, Beth Jacob. And on the second day, I would pull out my shofars and a clementina that I hadn't made a shechiyonu on yet. And I would put it on the shulchan where I blew. And when I made the brachot, I had that in mind. I don't really know if you have to, but that's a minhag. Now, what you see in front of you, and by the way, you're still invited, nobody took me up on it, to write a chat. You could do it on this Zoom with specific questions, and I will favor that to my just going on and on about different topics. But let's take a look at this. I mean, you know it, but hopefully I'll give you some new insight into it. You see the top lines after the brachot, tkia, shvarim, kirua, tkia. And then three times. And then tkia, shvarim, tkia, three times. And then tkia, terua, tkia, three times. Why? Why do we blow each one of these sounds three times? Before that question, why is there a shvarim? Why is there a trua? And why is there the combination called shvarim trua? Can anybody show off? Unmute yourself if you're muted, which I didn't mute everybody, but I guess you did. Okay, Jolie, I'll do that, but later. I mean, a little later. And that was a Yom Kippur thing, really. So, although it could apply here also. Yeah, it definitely could apply. Nu, why three times? So I'll tell you. Nobody? The beginning of the answer is the unusual wording of the command to hear the shofar. It does not say, you shall hear the shofar. It does not say, you shall blow the shofar. It says, Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem. Have a Teruah day. Without Torah Sheba'al Peh, without the oral tradition, we can't know what that means. Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem, have a Teruah day. Chazal teach us, as a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, that Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem means hear the sound of the shofar called a Teruah. Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem, hear the sound of the shofar called a Teruah. Question, where did they get that from? Is this rabbinic? Did they make this up on their own? Not when I already said it's halacha l'Moshe miSinai. But it comes from one of the methods that was passed down through the generations of linking an oral teaching with the wording in the written word. Again, Yom Teruah Yehlachem. That's written. Hear the sound of the shofar called a Teruah. That's oral. Both Torah, but one is written and one is oral. And many times there is an official link between the oral halacha and the written word. And this particular method of linking them is called a gezeira shava. Excuse me, a gezeira shava. I translate it as parallel or equal terminology. And for that, you have to go back to the beginning of Bahar. And you find the pasuk that teaches us about shofar in the year of Yovel. Okay. Sorry. Okay, here. Torah written. V'safarta lecha sheva shabbatot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pa'amim. You shall count, and this is a command not to each individual, but to Beit Din, Sanhedrin. They count seven periods of 7 years. Sheva shanim, sheva pa'amim. V'hayu lecha yimei sheva shabbatot hashanim, teisha v'arba'im shana. They count for 49 years. Very similar to the way we count 49 days of the Omer. They will say instead of hayom, they'll say hashana, the beginning of the year, is the 27th year of Yovel, which is 3 Shemitot and 6 years. And then the Torah says, V'ha'avarta shofar teruah b'chodesh hashvi'i. And you shall blow the shofar with a teruah in the 7th month. Specifically, Be'asor lachodesh b'yom ha'kippurim ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'artzachem. Once every 50 years, which we don't have in our time, didn't even exist in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. Yovel existed only during the first Beit HaMikdash, but the Torah provides it with the mitzvah of blowing a shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Says the Gemara, it says by shofar, Yom Teruah, when in the seventh month, on the first of the month. It says by Yovel, the seventh month, Teruah, produced by a shofar. And by this vehicle called Gezerah Shavah, Chazal teach us the oral law that the Teruah is produced by the shofar. Next, in Rosh Hashanah text, you have twice, Yom Teruah Yehielachem and Yom Zichron Teruah Yehielachem. And in Yovel, you have Shofar Teruah. That's three times it refers to Teruah, two of them with Rosh Hashanah, one of them with Yovel Yom Kippur, but they blend by this link, the Gezeirah Shavah. And what comes out of that is the rabbinic explanation that what you have to hear on Rosh Hashanah is the Teruah sound three times. So the next question is, what's the Teruah sound? And there's a dispute. We know that it sounds something like moaning or crying, which translated into what we call the Shvarim and we call the Teruah. And therefore, you would need both a Shvarim three times and a Teruah three times. But there's more, because Chazal teach us that the broken sound of either the Shvarim or the Teruah is flanked by a Peshuta. A Peshuta is a long single tone before and after. So you have now a Tekiah, something called a Teruah, and a Tekiah. So if the something called a Teruah is what we call the Teruah, then you have a tekiah, teruah, tekiah, three times. If it's what we call the shvarim, which is the Torah's teruah, which it might be, then you need a tekiah, a shvarim, and a tekiah, three times. And if it's a combination of the two, then you would need a tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, three times. So that is this. There's your Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah, known as a Tashrat, three times. Tashat Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, three times. Tarat Tekiah Teruah Tekiah, three times. The Tekiah Gedola is just a flare. It's not really a different kind of sound. Now, the next question, or not the next question, but let's say this. Though that set is called 30 kolot, Tekiah, Shevarim, Teruah, Tekiah, that's four, Tekiah, Shevarim, Tekiah, Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah, that's a total of 10 times three is 30 kolot. If you're blowing for a person who is housebound, couldn't make it to shul, that's what you do. You blow 30 kolot, and the mitzvah of shofar has been fulfilled by whoever is listening to it and having in mind the mitzvah, and that's all you need. But in the context of davening, there was a further dispute. There was an opinion that says we should blow the 30 kolot at one time so that we have the mitzvah, the brachot, cover them, and it's done. If a person has to leave shul at that point, or a woman has to take care of a child, or a man has to take care of a child, whatever, they have at least fulfilled the mitzvah. But there was a second suggestion that it would be important to interweave the sounds of the shofar, which are primitive unworded sound, very primitive, together with the more sophisticated sound of prayer. And specifically, the Musaf, middle brachot, known as Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And it's kedai, said Chazal, that one set of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, 10 kolot, should be blown for the bracha, with the bracha of Malchiot, another 10 for for Zichronot, and another 10 for Shofarot. Then the question is, in which Amidah? The silent Amidah or the repetition of the Amidah? Now, as far as I know, everybody agrees in the repetition. So when the Chazan is repeating Musaf, we have Tkiyot immediately following the conclusion of each of those three brachot. Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, v'yom hazikaron, Tkiyah, and you blow. Zocher habrit, and you blow. Shomea kol truat amo Yisrael, berachamim, or something like that, and you blow. There are communities, Sfardim among them, and Nusach Sfard, but it's not totally universal, where they blow in the silent Amidah also. And that takes a little bit of coordination. Somebody will get up at the beginning and announce, we're going to be blowing shofar during the silent Amidah. When you get up to the end of Melech al kol ha'aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, v'yom hazikaron, and the shofar has not been sounded yet, stop there, stay quiet, you're in the middle of the Amidah, and wait to hear the shofar. In that case, you don't have somebody calling the kolot. Nobody says tkiyah, because that would be an interruption in the davening. The person blowing shofar will get a signal from the rabbi or from the chazan. Now is time to blow one small set, and he will just blow it. And then everybody continues davening until the end of Zichronot, same thing. And the end. Now, some people find this very distracting. Some people find that they have to rush through in order to get up to that point, which they don't. They could take their time. When they hear the sound, you just stop what you're doing and you listen and you continue where you're up to. And some people don't like that idea at all, and some people love that idea. And I will tell you, does anybody here, the ones that I could see faces of, daven in a minyan where they blow in the silent Amidah? Anybody?
Remember from
Oh,
last.
me, Susan, yeah? Oh, and Jolie also. Okay. I personally, I mean, I don't do it in the minyan that I've been in the last number of years, but in Ramat Eshkol, which was Nusach Sfard, we did, I did, and I found it very powerful. I found at the beginning, you're talking about 200, 300 people in the shul start their Amidah, and even though it's a silent Amidah, you can't help but hear the hum of so many people davening. And then as people get up to that stopping point, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter, and then boom, the blast of the shofar. And then the noise continues and does it again and again. It also has a benefit that after 30 before the davening, before the Musaf, and 30 in the silent, and another 30 in the repetition, you only have 10 more to do after the Amidah to fill out the 100, which is a traditional number of kolot, but remember only in the context of shul, in context of davening. When you go to someone's house to blow shofar for them, 30 kolot is the fulfillment of the Torah's mitzvah. One more thing about that. Notice that I spelled Shvarim Teruah here with a dash. And I don't have it here, so I can't show it to you. So forget that. There's a question as to whether the combination, Shvarim Teruah, is supposed to be done with one breath or with two. nishima achat or shtei nishimot. And therefore, those people who are makpid on this will use the first set of kolot, the one after the haftorah and before musaf. They'll do the shvarim teruah with one breath, and then in the other blowings they will make a quick intake of air between the shvarim and the teruah. It's not so easy because you can't really separate them. They're supposed to be combined, but they separate it with a breath, and so on and so forth. Okay. Any questions so far about anything that I said or anything that I triggered in your mind to think about asking yet? Anybody? Okay, let's continue. The prime place for shofar blowing, each one of the places that we blow has an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage to doing it right up front before you start musaf is you make the brachot, you do the whole mitzvah according to the Torah, and you're finished. And especially if somebody has to run out of shul, rather than spacing it out over the next hour. The advantage to doing it in the davening, the disadvantage is that you're spacing it out, which means you have to be there the whole time, and you have to pay attention, and you're not supposed to talk, although lots of people do, and it just drags out this fulfillment. But the advantage is that it's really preferable, because this partnership between our intelligent, voiced prayer and the primitive cry of the shofar belong to be interwoven. That basically says the whole story. You could call out to God, depends on who you are. You know, there are famous stories about the shepherd boy who came to shul, and he had his pipe that he used to call the sheep, and that's what he blew, and because he didn't know how to daven. And that's a story. But the point of the story is that sometimes the primitive sound of the shofar triggers in your mind thoughts that the davening doesn't necessarily teach you. For example, if you know, which we should go over if you want, different symbolisms in the shofar, one of them is the ingathering of the exiles, based on the famous pasuk, which we say in davening on Rosh Hashanah, V'hoya bayom hahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, uva'o ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim, v'yishtachvu l'Hashem b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim, yitaka b'shofar gadol. So there's an association of shofar, a reminder of the ingathering of the exiles. Every single one of us, I think, is a returnee. We came back from exile to Eretz Yisrael. No, not all of us, okay. But, you know, potential, we're there. And it's part of the process of Shuva. Yesterday, in Parshat Nitzavim, we had Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, you do Shuva, and God will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. Almost seems like a slight disconnect, but it's not. It's a package deal. The package deal is Torah, La'am Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael. And that package got broken up over generations and centuries of exile. And we are witnessing in our own time, Kibbutz Galiot. So if the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is not only a call to tshuva, but a reminder of Kibbutz Galiot, and the recitation of that pasuk in davening is also a reminder, the question is, which one hits you better? Which one hits you more? Are you moved when in the davening we say that pasuk, Or perhaps are you more moved when you hear the sound of the shofar and remember that that's one of the things it represents? I don't know if I'm getting this across, but there are a whole range of people. We have this in our calendar in different ways. You know, why is there a physical celebration so much focused on Purim and a spiritual observance, which is the mark of Yom Kippur, where Yom HaKippurim is like Purim, Purim to Yom Kippur? That's the range. We have a whole range and it hits different people. And it should hit everybody. There are people who say, I can handle Yom Kippur. I get very spiritual. I do special things besides not eating and drinking. I
Oh.
with Kavana, I don't speak to other people, certainly not any gossip or anything else, and they could spiritualize. When it comes to Purim,
I'm okay.
they're not into Sudat Purim so much, and drinking Ad Lo Yoda and
Who's
Mishloach
talking about it?
Manot. Those are two physical, mundane kind of things. There are other people who light up with that. I can't get into Yom Kippur, they'll say, but I could handle excessive drinking on Purim, and I could handle
Likes to park all over the place. We have to do something with the parking. Every time I see.
And the answer there is that every person needs to be able to do things l'shem mitzvah with the whole range. And that's what I'm saying here on Rosh Hashanah, between the blowing of the shofar and the davening will speak to some people, the shofar will speak to some people, but the davening and the shofar is supposed to speak to all of us. And whichever way you're leaning, that's your goal, to incorporate the other. Now, it's not easy when the Makri calls tekiah, and you hear the tekiah. It's not practical to think of God as king. He created the world. He gave the Torah at Har Sinai. You don't have time for that. But if you study the different things that shofar represents, then one of them can jump out at you, even if the others are too many to think about. It's good preparation. It might go from one to the other. You hear your first tekiah and you say, Hashem is king. And the second tekiah, or the third one, or the fourth one, could represent Akedat Yitzchak. And then one could represent Matan Torah, and another one could represent the Beit HaMikdash, both the building of the Beit HaMikdash and its destruction. And another one, Tchiyat HaMetim, and another one, Kibbutz Galiot, as I mentioned, and another one, Divrei HaNeviim, and a call to tshuva. I mean, if you don't respond with a call to tshuva, that's really chaval, because that's, let's say, the main goal. Speaking of which, I recognize the following. I mean, a lot of this I knew, but I put it together just yesterday. We have been saying Slichot this year since last Motzoi Shabbat. If you look in a Slichot booklet, you have Slichot for the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, and then Erev Rosh Hashanah. So when And then in Aser Tamei Tshuva, its own Slichot. But I'm looking now at the Slichot before Rosh Hashanah. This year, last Saturday night slash Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not on Shabbos, Sunday, that was this morning or last night, and then Erev, which is tomorrow or tonight, that's a long Slichot. And that's the most in years when Rosh Hashanah is Thursday. You only have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday till you get up to Erev Rosh Hashanah, which means you'll only be saying day one, day two, and day three of Slichot, and you'll skip all the other pages of day four, five, six, and seven. That varies from year to year. But the fact is that we have been doing Slichot We Ashkenazim have d been doing Slichot since last Motzoi Shabbos. Sfardim have been doing it the whole month, except for Shabbos. And then we're going to start right after Rosh Hashanah. Some will do it Wednesday night, others Thursday morning, with Slichot for Tzom Gedalia and the first day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, which is the same, usually. And then we continue until we get up to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is loaded with Slichot, except when it's Shabbos, it's reduced. But there's still a lot of Slichot in the Yom Kippur davening. So what's missing from Slichot before and Slichot after? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Slichot. And take a look at the leaning from the Shabbos before. Spoke about doing tshuva, and that means returning to God, and that obviously involves slicha. And the laning of next Shabbos is called Shabbat Shuva, with the Haftorah starting with the words Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. So, in two sketches here, you have slichot up to Rosh Hashanah, a break over Rosh Hashanah, and then more Slichot, and Shabbatot before Rosh Hashanah, you have a focus on Tshuva and Slicha, and the Shabbos after, which we call Shabbat Tshuva, is dedicated to that also. So what happened to Rosh Hashanah? And I think I mentioned this maybe. There are some people that when they say Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah, they skip. I'm not recommending this, but some do. They skip Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. We have sinned before you. Appropriate for all of Slichot and all of Aseret Yemei Tshuva and fast days. Not appropriate for Rosh Hashanah, according to those opinions. And then you have another one. Avinu Malkeinu, Slach u'machal l'chol avonoteinu. They skip that. And then Avinu Malkeinu, Kotveinu, b'sefer Slicha u'mechila. And some communities will skip that one also. Because on Rosh Hashanah, you don't ask God for forgiveness. It's not the most appropriate time for that. You might think it is, but that's the day of judgment. The day of judgment, you want, instead of begging for forgiveness, which you should have been doing and continue to do after, on Rosh Hashanah, you want to stand as proud Jews to be able to really, really mean when you say, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. God is the King. And it's not easy. You could say it by words, but it takes an effort of kavana to put yourself into that mind frame of acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king on the anniversary of his creation of human beings. And this goes year after year, coronation of the king with trumpets. Obviously, that's not all, but that's definitely one of the aspects. And the whole first bracha of the middle section is Malchiot, which has 10 different psukim, three from Torah, three from Ketuvim, three from Nevi'im, and another one from the Torah, that all speak of God's role, plus or minus, as the Melech, the king. And then the other aspect of Rosh Hashanah, remembering, remembrances. We don't need to remind God. We need to remind ourselves of who we are, where we came from, who inspired a whole history of Jewish procedure and behavior and personality. Starting with Abraham and Sarah and going through the Avot and then the Shvatim and then throughout history. And the Zichronot, remember, remember this, remember that, remember that. And by the way, interesting, the first thing that the davening reminds us to remember is God's promise to Noah. He wasn't even Jewish. And yet there's that universal aspect of Rosh Hashanah where we begin the Rosh Hashanah remembrances with Noah, and then we get to the Jews in Mitzrayim who called out because of their harsh labor and continue from there on different zichronot. And then the shofarot put it together because the shofar triggers this memory and the shofar triggers God's kingship on our mind and so on and so on and so on. Okay, next. I don't remember if I said this last week. I probably might have. Probably might have. I just have given a good number of shiurim since then. I don't remember what I said then and what I said in other places. Did I mention the thing of, well, I'll tell it to you, so I don't want to spoil it, because I think it was a beautiful addition. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of human beings. Human beings, different from all other things in creation, did not just come into existence because God said so. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, let there be light, there was light. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Maorot Birkiah Hashamayim, let there be luminaries in the heavens, and the sun and the moon and the stars were there. All of creation, up to but not including the human being, were based on God's say-so. Vayomer Elokim, again and again. When it came to human beings, it says Vayivra. Now the whole thing is creation. Bereshit bara Elokim. But specifically for human beings, it says Vayivra Hashem Elokim et ha'adam. He created Vayitzer, and he formed him. Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim. And he breathed, God breathed into Adam's nostrils, our nostrils, the soul. We call the soul, the neshama, chelek elokut. It's a piece of God. That's what our soul is. And what do we do on Rosh Hashanah when we have that anniversary? We use the breath that God breathed into us to blow the shofar. And that could be seen as a tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only as King, not only as the one who gave us the Torah, not only as the one who will help in gather the exiles and build the Beit HaMikdash and all the other things, but as a tribute to his giving us Nishmat Chaim, middle of Shir. Not often, not, no. So if that speaks to you, think about it. Every breath that goes into the shofar is a reminder of the fact that human beings, unlike all the rest of creation, have the neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into us. To me, that's my newer thought for this year, which I told you I got from Rabbi Breidowitz, or at least he started me in that direction. Comments or questions about Rosh Hashanah? Okay, Jolie asked, The same question that was asked before, but let's see if I could make it clearer, maybe with pointing. So I'm going to first call up a sitter. Right
Can I
there.
just ask as well, is
Go.
it normal to do simonim second night as well as first?
Say again.
Is it normal practice to use simonim second night as well as first night?
And that's an either or. There are some people who do and some people who don't. I can't say more than
Okay.
that. If you don't, you have plenty of people who are like that. And if you do, there are plenty of people also like that. There's a logic to doing it the second night also, but I don't really know how many people do it. Okay, let's take a regular Amidah. Let me share this with you. Do you see me scrolling? Yes, okay, good. I'm
Thanks.
going to the end of the Amidah just to clarify where you're allowed to interrupt. Okay. Doesn't matter which Amidah, it goes for all of them. Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMevorech et Amo Yisrael, Bashalom. That is the end of the brachot of the Amidah. Once upon a time, that was the end of the Amidah. There was no passage that came after it. Somewhere along the line, Chazal added, Elokai, my God, Netzar lishoni meira, hold my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking calumny, whatever that is, falsehood, and so on. So this is the passage, the way I put it last time, it's attached to the Amidah, but it's not an integral part of the Amidah. We make it part of the Amidah by keeping our feet still together and saying this right after HaMevorech et Amo Yisrael Bashalom. Now notice what you have here. In parentheses, Yihyu l'ratzon nimrei fi v'hegyon libi lefanecha Hashem tzuri v'goali. And then later, right at the end of Elokai Netzor, you have it again, which I'm highlighting. You see it? There are some people who say it twice, but the reason that it's in parentheses is based on the Vilna Gaon Shita that you don't say it in the parentheses unless you need to. In other words, regular davening, HaMevorech et Amo Yisrael Bashalom, continue straight with Elokai, Netzar lishoni meira. On Yom Kippur, continue with Vidui. But don't say Yihyu l'ratzon imrei fi unless you need it. Don't say it that first time. Say the whole Vidui on Yom Kippur or Elokai Netzor, which is also part of Yom Kippur, but it's every day. And then when you're about to finish, your ending will be Yul Ratzon Yimrei Fi Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, right before which is where you can talk to God. That's where some people say the psukim for their names. If anybody doesn't know that, I'll be glad to explain it either privately or after we finish. But again, end of the extra piece that I attached to the Amidah. Here's where I say psukim for my name And I also do it for my wife and my children's names. It's based on a schlaw and other sources, whatever. And then you could talk to God and you can say, I really, I would like you to send a Refuah Shleimah, and I would really like you to get those hostages out. Whoever's still alive, get him out alive now. You could talk to him. Talk to him. That's where you talk to him. And then you say, Yul, and now you take your steps back. And when you take your three steps back, you then say, Oseh Shalom, or in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, Oseh HaShalom, Bimramav, V'yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'Kol Yisrael V'Yimru Amen. And then there's this Yehi Ratzon for the building of the Beit HaMikdash, which is not even as much part of the Amidah as Elokai Netzar is, because you already took your steps back, and that's a sign of finishing the Amidah, including what you added, but it's still there. Now, let's say it's more shayach on Yom Kippur, because there's a lot more all of Vidui rather than just one paragraph of Elokai Netzar. But let's say, Jolie and anyone else, if you're in the middle of that passage and the chazan is already up to, and you hear him, he's about to say Kedusha, then even though you're not finished, you just got as far as, let's say, the first period. Elokai, Netzor Lashoni Miraus, Sasai Midabra Mima, Velimakalai, Nafshi Tidom, V'nafshi ke'efar lakol tehiyeh. And that's when they start Kedusha. You quickly say, Yehi Ratzon Imrei Fi V'Egon Libi L'Fanecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, the passage that you didn't say, that's in parentheses. Now you could answer to Kedusha, the psukim of Kedusha. You don't say Nekadesh, and you don't say Mimkomcha, and you don't say Mimkomo, and Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo, that you do, because that's a pasuk. Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod Hashem Yimkomo, and Yimloch Hashem Leolam Alahayach Tzion Lador V'Ador, Hallelujah. That's what you say. Then you continue where you left off and say another Yul Ratzon Imrei Fi when you get up to it, where it is. If you're still in Sim Shalom and they're up to Kedusha and you can't finish this, then you just have to stop davening and listen. And then after the chazan finishes the kedusha, you could continue. I don't know if this is, if I explained it clearly enough. Any questions on this?
Okay, so I don't know why you don't see me, but so first of all, thank you very much. I
I
remember
do see
learning
you.
this before, but it always trips me up. So if I'm somewhere before the last paragraph, I'm just quiet when if they get to Kedusha before I get to Sim Shalom,
If
if
you
I'm like saying,
haven't said Hamavarechet Amo Yisrael Bashalom, you're
Shalom.
still in the Amidah itself, and you're not allowed to interrupt. But you can't continue. You have to just be quiet and listen.
And if I get to the if I'm at that sec last paragraph, I can insert Yiratzon Yiratzon, and I could answer, and then I say it again, and I return to the saying the last few
No,
sentences.
you continue and then you say it at the end. You don't say it right after.
When I come to it.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Now, as I said, it's most useful in Yom Kippur davening because of the long piece we attach to it called Vidui. I'll say one other thing. When the Chazan starts Nekadesh or Nakdishach or Keter, whatever your nusach is, still could continue davening. It's only when he gets up to and he's about to say, and the congregation is about to say Kadosh, Kadosh, that you have to stop. So that sometimes works well. You're in the middle of Sim Shalom, they're up to Kedusha, but the Chazan is singing Nekadesh or Naritzach or Keter, especially because it has Yachad, Yachad. And then you could quickly finish Hamavarech et Amo Yisrael Bashalom. Yulu Ratzoni Merifi V'Yagon L'Milo Fanech Hashem Tzuri V'Gali. Now you're ready to do Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
What about like Birkat Kohanim? If like they get to Birkat Kohanim.
I've seen two opinions on that. I would say that you also have to stop. Let it just float over you. You don't answer Amen, I don't think. But you stop. You don't continue. I'm not sure everyone agrees with that. And I know that on Kaddish, the Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba is the important response. And that's also could be done the same way if you get the chance to say Yulu Ratzon Imreifi quickly enough. Now, here's a separate question on this. Am I supposed to face reality that they daven quicker in my shul than I would like, and maybe I should speed up? And the answer is, if you could speed up a little, it might be worth it. If that's not going to help, and you're just going to need to blitz through the davening, then don't do it. Daven at your own pace, and hope for the best. And that's all I could say. Anything else? You could make guacamole on Rosh Hashanah. I looked that up because we have a lot of avocados. You can't mash an avocado on Shabbos with a fork.
And oh, and Yantif, you can use the fork?
You can't mash an avocado on Shabbos with a fork.
Correct.
But on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tov, that's not Shabbos, you can mash it with a fork.
Wow, I love guacamole. I'm in. Thank you.
And especially because if you do it Erev Yontif, it's not going to be the best. Same thing goes for mashing bananas. But mashed potatoes you can do on Shabbos with a fork because they're already cooked. It's only raw vegetables, raw fruit or vegetables. The two examples are banana and avocado.
Avocado.
I don't know what else people mash raw. But the reason
eggs.
That raw is more serious. No, eggs is not a gidul karka. It doesn't grow from the ground. So you could do on Shabbos. But the restriction is only with raw fruit, example, banana and avocado. And those you could mash on Shabbos, but only with the back of a spoon, which really doesn't do such a great job. So enjoy your guacamole.
Thank you, I will.
Ktiva v'chatima tova to everybody. I told you the Rebbe's vort on Shana Tova Umetuka.
What's that?
Kotzker Rebbe says that when you say Shana Tova, you have to recognize that everything that God does is Latova, even things that we don't want. So wishing someone just a Shana Tova doesn't say it all. But Umtuka and sweet, that's in our perception. So I want good and I want it to be sweet. Without the calories of sugar, you know. And
okay, so that's about